Let's go back to you again now. So there you are. So you go down because you've got family. You go to Ilminster, do you?
Yeah, I went to the school where my father was educated at school, in Ilminster Grammar School. And in 1943, I volunteered for the Fleet Air Army.
Just let's do the school bit first. So your mother, there was already family in Somerset.
Yeah, and she was doing war work in Somerset because she had to do the war work in a factory close to Ilminster, between Ilminster and Chard, actually.
And had she been out of Gibraltar before?
Yes.
To England?
Yeah, she travelled before.
Because a lot of Gibraltarian women hadn't, had they?
No, they didn't. They hadn't. They hadn't left Gibraltar. The nearest they went to was La Linea and Algeciras, you know. But that is the circumstances at the time. The economic circumstances restricted their movements, so to speak.
But I think for the women who hadn't been, it was an amazing culture shock suddenly to be in the middle of Kensington High Street.
Imagine women who never left Gibraltar, big plonk on a ship and sent to Madeira, to Madeira, some of them, but the others went to Jamaica, which was across the Atlantic with all the submarines, sinking ships and things like this, and then and to England and being plonked in the middle of London where all the bombs were dropping.
I know, it's
an
extraordinary story.
It was awful.
Especially since all the children had been evacuated from London and then all these Gibraltarian children come in.
Yeah.
I did interview quite a few people about being in London during the Blitz, and they said that the Gibraltarians were known as being lucky, that a lot of people would go to the hotels where the Gibraltarians were.
Yes.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah. Well, they didn't have an option, really, did they? They would have to be prompt in a hotel because it was the only places that were vacant during the war. Nobody travelled during the war, so the hotels were empty. So the main accommodation where they were all grouped together was in hotel in the middle of London.
So what about your poor mother then? So were there, I mean, because at least they were together.
Yeah.
I mean, presumably your mother came over and, you know, and left a lot of her friends behind. And
yes, that's right. She left her sisters behind. One of the sisters went to Madeira. The other one was in Spain because whose husband was a Republican on the opposite side to Franco, and he had to get out of Spain and he went to France and then he ended up in Tangier, and he was caught in Tangier and he was put in prison. And the other one was, her husband died during the war when she was pregnant. So it wasn't pleasant, actually.
It must have been very worrying.
Yeah, very,
for her.
Very, very worrying.
Did she ever talk to you about it afterwards?
No, she didn't. She didn't. We were very, in that sense, we were rather reserved. We didn't talk about our war service and we didn't talk about the suffering and things like this. It was stiff upper lip, you know.
Yeah, I think that's very, very common. I mean, my parents never talked to me about what they did in the war.
That's right.
I have no idea.
It was stressful.
You know?
It must have been worried.
Yeah. I mean, and so she came and they lived in Somerset with your father's relatives, presumably.
Well, no, we lived in our own house. Mm. We rented a house, you know.
And what was it like for you suddenly being...
Lovely, it was lovely. Somerset was very quiet. Oh, it was beautiful. It was lovely. The war passed, you know, the bombers went over and when they went over to Bristol and Swansea and Cardiff and all the ports on the western seaboard of England were bombed because this is where the supplies from the States were coming in. The ones on the Atlantic side in the North Sea and things like this were also bombed, but not as severely as Bristol and Cardiff and Swansea and Port Talbot and Plymouth and Liverpool and Glasgow and places like that, where all the supplies from the States were coming in. You know?
Did you ever, I mean, how did your mother...
We hear the bombers going over.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, and it was frightening because you could tell the sound of the engine of a German aircraft was completely different from the sound of the engine of a British aircraft. The German aircraft was a boom, 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 boom. That was the sound. And the English was... It was incredible. You could tell the Germans as they were going over, you know. and it was quite hairy, and the sirens went off, you know, and that was frightening as well, until the all clear, which is one long blast of the siren. You know.
Did you have to go to a shelter?
We never went to the shelter, because we knew that the Ilminster had no factories and nothing to bomb, or no car manufacturing, or tank manufacturing, or arms manufacturing, or anything like that.
And what was it like at school? I mean, did the boys sort of, did you school all play Germans and Brits together?
There, some of the masters had joined up. I remember one, Danny Mayer, the math teacher, he joined the RAF, and he was a flight lieutenant on the teaching side and the educational side of the RAF. And we picked up supply teachers. One was called Max Binns, who was a writer, and he used to have to be hooked over the ditch because he was drunk as a coot every morning, you know. And he used to come in and teach English. But he was brilliant. He was a lovely man. But he was always drunk, poor chap, you know.
And did you weren't boarding at this point? You were living at home?
Well, because we were living there, we didn't board, you know.
And how did your mother, do you think, keep a sense of Gibraltar alive for you? Because it was, you know, children adapt to things quite quickly.
We were surviving, economically, and surviving as we could. You know, it was tough during the war in England.
Do you remember
really
being hungry?
Not really, because the rationing system that they had, we were young and obviously we were always hungry. Young kids are always hungry, particularly at 14, 15 and 16. They're starving. They'll have a square meal at 1 o'clock and they want another square meal at 4 o'clock and another one at 6:30. So, you know, we were always hungry. But we never felt, if we were hungry, we used to go out into the country and eat Swedes from the ground, you know, pick Swedes up and chew Swedes and pick apples from the trees, scrump. We used to go into people's orchards and nick apples from them, you know, and pears and fruit and things like that. So it did us a lot of good, actually, to realise that food was difficult to come by. And we, even to this day, we always eat everything that's put on the plate. We don't
make a fuss.
Don't waste.
And what about your father? Did he come and visit you?
Yes, once.
And can you remember that? What that
yes.
Was? Tell me about that.
Well, he came over and you know, I hadn't seen him for 3 years. That was in 1942. Before he was posted from Gibraltar, he went up to Scapa Flow in the north of the Shetland Islands. In the Orkney Islands. And he was operating with the Norwegian resistance at the time.
Oh, how interesting.
Where he was
there.
Yeah, and he used to come kitted out with his sealskin waistcoats and things like this because it was so cold up in the Orkney Islands, you know. And to get across, he didn't go by air. He went by train and then by ferry across the rough seas. And he was up in the Orkney Islands. And then after being in the Orkney Islands for a year or a year and a half, he was sent down to Madagascar because he was a French speaker as well. He spoke Spanish and he spoke French. So he was in Jim with the Spanish Civil War and the German quasi-German occupation in Spain. And he was sent from the Orkney Islands to Madagascar.
Bit of a culture change.
I beg your pardon?
Bit of a culture change there.
Yes, that's right. Incredible. Yeah, when you're in the services, they send you everywhere. And I remember I was sent to Ceylon at one stage, and my mother wrote to me. She said, "Why don't you go and see Daddy in Madagascar, which is 2,000 miles away?"
So what was it like seeing him? Can you remember what it was like because you hadn't seen him for so long? Because you hadn't seen him?
Yeah, but this was war. The answer was, don't you know there's a war on when you wanted something? And people said, don't you know there's a war on? And this was the simple answer. You didn't ask for things that you couldn't achieve or wanted or anything like that because there was a war and everybody was working for the war effort. You know, and that's how England survived, through its character and its resonance and its toughness, and otherwise it wouldn't have survived. And because Hitler made mistakes as well, and he pulled people away from the ports, the northern France ports, and he took them off to Russia in 1941.